Let us turn again, as we may be helped, to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. The Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. As most of you know, we made a few very poor remarks upon this verse, or the first clause of it, speaking of the holy brethren, as the Apostle Paul called them, holy brethren, though he knew from his own experience they were sinners, but he could see the grace of God in them, marks of grace manifested in no doubt their conversation and also in their walk, that he could name them as holy brethren. Nothing have I said in of themselves, but the holiness is in Christ the Lord. And it's only by, as we've said this morning, receiving the heavenly call that we could be made of as a brethren that is holy. For we know very well that there's nothing in us by nature that is acceptable to God or can be called holy or righteous. We are defiled by sin throughout, from the day of birth, and there'll be this carnal nature in us even the death's door. But if we've received the heavenly calling spoken of in our text, then there's something in our heart, in our soul, that as God has given. As you've heard me say before, from the prophecy of Ezekiel, that the Lord has said he would give that new spirit, Spirit of grace, and remove the heart, stony heart, and give the heart of flesh. And this is the experience, I believe, as of everyone that receives a call from heaven. As we said this morning, it's the new birth. As Jesus spake unto Nicodemus of old, ye must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. It's going through the gate of regeneration by the grace and mercy of God. And then we made a few remarks, as some of you know, upon this calling and upon the word consider. I know the word is before us, consider, more respected the apostle and high priest of our profession, which is Christ Jesus. But well might we consider ourselves somewhat, to know our standing, whether we are building our hope for heaven on a good foundation. And as you know, that there is but one foundation, is only one. Every other will sink, come to nothing. But Christ is the foundation of the old church. In other words, all that the Father gave him to redeem, they are building their hope upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. His love, his mercy, his compassion and especially his blood. Consider the apostle. And we close this morning speaking a little of obeying the voice of God. For he doth speak to these people, and sometimes the way in the things of providence, that their feet should be guided and directed, and there sometimes he does direct them into his statutes and his commandments, as we read much of in the 119th Psalm. This afternoon, for a little while, as helped, we look at this apostle and high priest of our profession. Well, we know very well that the writer of this apostle, the Apostle Paul, writing these things we have read of and spoken of this afternoon and this morning, that he was made an apostle. That was God's gift, as according to God's purpose from all eternity, that this man, Saul, should be brought out of the world and receive an heavenly calling, brought to a knowledge of him, that he would be made eventually an apostle, that he might go forth and preach the gospel, which the Lord used him, as you know, to preach the gospel, and the Lord blessed him in delivering it, and many churches was built up in their most holy faith under the preaching of the Apostle Paul, as well as others. So our text here, consider the apostle, high priest, is not alluding actually to those who were made apostles, poor, sinful creatures, men, but our text speaks of Jesus Christ. Now we are to consider, but just another thought here, the apostle Paul and others, they were sinful men. They were all born the same as we in sin. Born in sin. They had a nature in them that was a sin. And I believe the Lord used, well, we know he used them for this, preaching the gospel to poor sinners who were born in the same condition and felt the same need of a Savior. Consider the apostle. Now, this apostle, Paul, and other apostles, as I said, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. No, there's made apostles. But being born of, born into this world and sin, and being having the heavenly calling and taught by the Holy Spirit, the Lord sent them forth to speak of those things that angels tasted or felt, and he, by those means, built up the church of God. Because these apostles could speak of their condition by nature that led them to preach salvation through Jesus unto those poor creatures that were born and shaped in sin and in themselves. But this little difference in the word of our text, considered the apostle, and we are told who this apostle is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, I do feel it needs grace to consider him. Consider Jesus Christ. first being the Son of God. The Father had no other to send into this poor world to open a way to heaven, none other. But Jesus is only begotten Son. Your thoughts maybe, well, surely he could have fitted the Apostle Paul for such a work. No, impossible. No. The Apostle Paul was a sinful man, and he wanted an holy, a man undefiled, no sin within or without, come to that. A sinless man. Now here is one, and one only. I speak with all reverence. There's none other in the mind of the Father, the sent to redeem his people, but his only beloved Son, to fulfill the law. All others had broken the law, Paul had, and each the apostles and prophets of old. There was one man and one man only who could come into this world to be a true apostle and to be a true high priest and take that work of salvation for poor sinners such as you and I. Well might we praise the Father in this wonderful, according to his wonderful will, to bring forth his dear beloved Son. We are bearing in mind that that Son of his, Jesus, was a partaker of the heavenly calling. I'm sure of this, that the Father sent his Son. Truly he was an heavenly Son. He received an heavenly calling to undertake a work for heavenly souls through the grace of God. Well, then might we consider this apostle, even from birth to the evidence. Sometimes we may be that we think but little of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, only as the seasons come round. Is that right? No. No, I desire to preach Jesus has helped from babyhood, for he came in that mysterious way, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, to be born, to be the Redeemer of every one that the Father had chosen from eternity. So as a babe, he came. And you will remember that there was no place on earth for him. That is, no place prepared. No mansion. No a stable. Who hath believed their report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He was a babe laid in a manger. In a manger. At Bethlehem. He received the call from his Father. The dear Son obeyed, born in that mysterious way, a partaker of the heavenly calling. Consider this apostle then. He came to undertake a work that no other could possibly undertake. He was the only babe born into this world from that time onwards, or from the commencement of the world unto the closing, being sinless and able to satisfy the Father in fulfilling the law for all his dear people. Well, dear friends, how can we consider that babe, the babe of Bethlehem? It's beyond us, isn't it? Can you imagine one, a babe, a child, without sin? Thou sent for danger, you have us sent for danger, I have, and it's troubled us, do it not? Well, this babe came to deliver us from that carnal nature and those sins. Consider the apostle, babe, born at Bethlehem, mysterious birth, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Without him, dear friends, if it be no babe sent by the Father, there'd be no heaven. There'd be no deliverance. There'd be no way to heaven. We should still be, all would be in. Let me plainly put it, we should be in hell. We've been suffering for our sins. But the Father loved this people whom he had chosen with such a love cannot be described. Oh, how John takes it up, does it up. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Well, it's by his birth that we are brought. Can I say here today, by the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also in a later day, as he travelled that path of suffering. It reminds me of the word which some of us heard preached from the other evening. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the apostle, dear friends. Jesus Christ. I know you can but notice how the apostle Paul spoke well of him. Preached him, preached the poor sinners and told them there's no other way, and true, there's no other way to heaven but in and through Jesus Christ, this apostle. And Jesus preached his own gospel, as you know. When he was here on earth, he preached in his latter days, and he preached the gospel, and it was his gospel. Oh, what a sermon preached on the mount by Jesus. Often looked upon it, he commenced with his dear people. He speaks of their blessed state. And so they are. This is the heavenly calling. Blessed people. Blessed are they that mourn, he says. We spoke a little this morning of these poor sinners mourning over sin, but he calls them blessed. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, and the comfort is in Christ. Oh, the blessed sermons he preached when here on earth. We know but little of them. There's just a few, as you might say, that Jesus preached. At the 5th of Matthew, and I often go to that 16th of John, one of his last discourses here before he left to go into to Calvary and to be crucified there. The apostle, Jesus Christ, none other, dear friends. What do we consider, how do we consider that dear man, a babe, and also grow up be a minister, should I say? Yes, a prophet, yes, an apostle of the Father as he sent him for the benefit of poor sinners here on earth. Consider. Oh, how little do we consider him? How little can we consider him? That is in his power, in his strength, in his love, and in his mercy. We have to fade away, don't we? Consider then, as we are able. And it's not wrong, dear friends, to ask the Lord to lead us deeper and deeper into a knowledge of this apostle, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, in his love and mercy, and in his suffering. Perhaps at times we fear to ask the Lord to lead us by his Spirit into the garden, shall I say, of Gethsemane and so on. We fear to do so. And yet, when we desire more knowledge of him, to understand who this dear man was, surely it is right for us to ask. It may be revealed to us. And yet there's an inward trembling, as I said. Fear the Lord will bring us down and bring us somewhat into the path of suffering. To know a little of what he passed through the Garden of Gethsemane. God moves the mysterious way, as one has to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. So the Lord works, I believe, in Zion, to give unto us a deeper knowledge of himself and what he passed through, that our souls might be saved with an everlasting salvation. Consider then this apostle. And now he entered, as you know, into the depths of suffering in the garden of Gethsemane. Take it of this as you sing in the previous hymn, view him that olive press, squeezed and wrung till whelmed in blood, view thy maker's deep distress, hear the sighs and groans of God, then reflect what sin must do be. Gazing on Gethsemane. Poor disciples, tell me now, where's the love you lately had? Where's that faith ye all could view? Well, but this hour is too sad. Is not now, for such as we, to support Gethsemane. What can we say, dear friends, about this apostle in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffering? How little do we know of his suffering. We read sometimes a little of his suffering and we sing of it, but oh, how little do we know. Is it your concern and mine to know that he passed that way, that we might live? Do you feel the need of the apostle, dear friends? Well, there's one and one holy, Jesus Christ. Oh, if we could consider him in his great love, willing to walk in those paths and experience that suffering that none can speak of. Not to the depth of it. What he endured, no tongue can tell. What has said to save my soul from death and from hell. Consider the apostle. Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the only way we have any knowledge of the Holy Spirit is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The only way we have a knowledge of this apostle, Jesus Christ, is only as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. You may read and read of the sufferings of Christ, the Garden of Gethsemane, but friends, it's the Holy Spirit that opens up, leads us into it. If we knew more of the sufferings of Christ, I believe it would give us a greater hatred to sin, to our own carnal mind. The more we know of the Lord Jesus' sufferings, especially when we feel it was done for us, there would be a deeper knowledge of ourselves, and I believe it would cause us to come often, yea, far more often than it does, with the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we should know more of this dear man, the Apostle Paul, when he said, how poor and afflicted he was. Consider the apostle and how he preached, and not only preached as he went round, but he healed poor sinners, healed them bodily, all for the honour and for the glory of God his Father, and how he brought the dead to life. Remember Mary and Martha, those two, and Nazareth, all three in the family, all loved of God, whose souls each are now in heaven, around the throne of grace, there in glory. Looking upon this apostle, Jesus Christ, and how Jesus spake, and this one whom Jesus loved was brought to life, natural. These are mysterious things, but we have in various cases in the Bible, in the scriptures, how the Lord spake and it was done, even in giving natural life to those that were dead. Consider the apostle then, in his preaching, in his work, in his healings, in his love, the apostle, and how he preached to his own glory. That is, he preached his own blessed sermon, speaking of in the sermons, testifying in the sermons, that there was none other but he himself could save one sinner, let alone the great multitude, does not John speak of, a multitude that no man could number. Consider then the apostle. And now a few thoughts here. This high priest, oh friends, this high priest, none other than the apostle, none other than Jesus Christ. He was the high priest. Great work. What did he undertake to do? Well, he died for poor sinners. He died for them. Voluntary death. Willing to suffer in the garden, upon the cross, that sinners might live. The high priest. Dear friends, there'd be no way to heaven. We should never hope of heaven this afternoon if this dear man never entered into that suffering and opening that wonderful stream of his blood. How can we understand it? No. We come so far short. We may have a little view by faith, but oh, the depth of it. Oh, the height of it. Of his high priest, in his profession, Jesus Christ, in shedding his blood. There is a fountain. You've been singing in your hymn this afternoon, that all the blood on Jewish water stain could give the guilty conscience ease, or wash away one stain. But there is a fountain. Oh, what a mercy it is for us. Otherwise, dear friend, we should be hopeless. No hope of heaven. No hope of cleansing. But die in our sin. But Jesus, this apostle, this high priest, opened a way. whereby sinners and some of the vilest, as the poet has said, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace. His precious blood to plead. This high priest, Jesus Christ, opening a fountain. And dear friends, that fountain is still flowing. Yes, poor sinners by faith can come to that place, to Calvary. By faith, revealed by the Holy Spirit, why we still see him suffering there. Yes, though he's in heaven, but by faith we view the sufferings of Christ and the opening of the fountain. Do we know anything of the application of this blood? He opened the fountain, yes, yes, for poor sinners, yes, for some of the vilest, yes, but what we know in and of it ourselves, have we ever had the application? Have we ever felt a little of that blood? Oh, I would speak in reverence, that blood, pure blood, perfect blood. It isn't the blood, my friends, that we find in our veins, no, defiled by sin, but Jesus' blood was perfect. Perfect. Nothing of sin in that. Otherwise it wouldn't cleanse pores in us. But he opened it, the fountain. Ever flowing, oh what a mercy. And it will still flow, and it'll still be known by faith unto the last day, shall I say, the world exists. All the time the Lord has a people upon the earth, that fountain will not be closed. It's to continue. Yes, Jesus Christ, everlasting, eternal. And so is the blessings that flow through him, eternal. What does a poet said, a man, a real man, yes, in heaven, in glory. A man, yes, with his wounds still gaping wide. But the blood, dear friends, oh, the application of that blood. That blood of the Lord Jesus that purifies, removes the stain. Ah, are you about to say, oh, nobody knows how my poor soul is stained with sin, unbelief, iniquities, transgressions, and these many things in my soul. And no doubt at times you have to say, it's impossible, impossible for the Lord to cleanse me. Just recently I was reading a little of the dying word, shall I say, of that dear man of God, J.K. Popham, and how he confessed his sins upon that. Upon his dying bed. It touched my heart. I say to myself, have I ever been brought to feel my sins, that dear man? And can there be blood in Christ to cleanse me? If he was so vile, what must I appear in the sight of God? The high priest of our profession, cleanses, dear friends, from every sin, from the very stain of sin. Sometimes there's a stain in our clothes that we wear. It may be some have tried to remove the stain, but no. It still remains that friends in the gospel. Is there a stain in your poor heart, in your soul? A stain. The blood of Jesus can move it. You can't. But that blood spilled at Calvary, the precious blood of Christ, can remove the stain. Ah, you say, my poor soul is stained throughout with sin. But there's not one sin for what can be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. How often you and I desire that grace to consider Jesus, to consider him. And how far short we come. Here again, I must come back to the words I've said. It's by the Holy Spirit and nothing of us. We can read the Word of God, read it through and through, and have a natural understanding of it. But to feel the power and the cleansing of it, the blessing that rests in it, it must be by the Holy Ghost. Of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest. We should never consider him in a way we would desire to consider him. Till we pass over Jordan. But the thing is, friends, shall we pass over Jordan, speaking of the mercy of God? Or shall we hear that solemn word, depart, depart? Or will it be that blessed word, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee? May each of us in this little company in the house of God this afternoon be brought to know this apostle and feel the application of his cleansing blood that we might praise him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, the Father, as you know, spoke in the hearing of those disciples of old, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can we say, this is my beloved Savior, my Redeemer? Oh, some of you may long to say it, still long for it, still take it to the throne of grace, asking the Holy Spirit to give you light upon it, and the assurance of your standing upon the rock, robed in that robe of righteousness, garment of righteousness, that Jesus Christ is thy Redeemer, friend, counselor. Everything that you need in Christ dwells there. May we be able to exalt him, was here on earth, and at last be with him in glory. I leave it with you. We have another little service. Amen.